Welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road here. And for a fourth straight day, Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley. I wonder if Robbie's sick of the beach yet. Probably not. He keeps tweeting out like pictures of waves and his toes in the waves and whatever else going on. Michelle Knezovic also here.
Totally
with us.
Just muted there.
You just muted yourself? Wow.
Yes.
We got a Michelle mute in the first minute of the show. You know, I haven't had a mute this week.
You have not.
You haven't had a mute either, have you?
No, because I'm a professional.
Wow. Are you tired yet?
No.
Okay.
You count it down like you're surprised I keep coming back. It's a fourth straight day, Vingan.
I'm like, impressed.
I was asked to be here, and as a professional, I fulfill my professional obligation.
I had no doubt that you would be here, that you would show up. I'm just wondering how the wear and tear is going. If you're not used to this schedule,
I'm not even used to this schedule.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's right. I mean, it can get to. Yeah.
It is different.
You're also young and like to stay up late at night, though.
It is different that, you know, I wake up early at home anyway because of the baby.
Blame Arlo.
Hashtag. Yes. But it's different when you wake up and you can go downstairs and sit on the couch while he's watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse versus coming into a place of business.
Don't have to be on, right, so to speak.
Wait, are you telling me you don't have Robbie and Rex Road as the stream on your TV for Arlo in the morning, Adam?
I don't want to frighten Arlo by having the first thing he sees is Joe's mug,
yeah,
5 days a week.
I mean,
Joe has not met Arlo, and Arlo's been alive for almost 2 years.
That's pretty bad. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It is bad.
It is bad.
I'm sorry.
Friday edition, Arlo in Mike 3.
Why don't you bring Arlo in?
If you want this show to go completely off the rails, which is already happening when you're on Mike 1, then
exactly.
then we can bring Arlo in.
Exactly. It's not like, I mean, when I'm on Mike 1, that's the kind of chaotic show that having a baby on the air would actually suit very well.
He would like all the buttons and things, so.
Yeah.
Probably dump all of us off the air at some point.
Well, if you'd like to join in the conversation on the game on the phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. Let us know, should Arlo come in tomorrow. We're here in the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I'm going to talk a little OC today.
Orange County? The show?
The OC. I forgot about that show. I never watched that show. Did you?
My sister did. Big fan, my sister was, of the OC.
I think Katie may watch it too. But no, I'm talking about the OC, Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator of the Titans. But first, Matthew Tkachuk seems like a guy who's pretty good at hockey, especially in the postseason, huh?
How about that,
Matthew Tkachuk?
If I'm not mistaken, 2 overtime game winners and a buzzer beater in this past series.
The Conn Smythe is over. What if he. Okay.
I don't think it's over.
No, I'm saying if they win.
No, I still don't think it's over. I think Bobrovsky has a better chance of winning the Conn Smythe.
He's not winning it. Really?
He's won 11 of 12.
I know, he's been great, but Tkachuk is doing absurd things to win games.
And so is Bobrovsky.
I think you're wrong.
He entered last night's game having stopped 110 of his past 111 shots.
I mean, that's decent.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
But
well, either way, it's
to your
Florida.
Point, Florida
it's
sweeps
Vegas.
Carolina. Vegas will try to finish off the Stars. Sans Jamie Benn suspended 2 games tonight. But as we came in, I was telling you about this mind-boggling stat that the NHL put out last night. So, of course, the Panthers were the lowest-ranked team in the field in the postseason in both conferences. They spent, according to the NHL, 28% of the regular season in a playoff spot, which I think worked out to 54 of 190 days, if I remember correctly. Since the NHL's expansion era, which started in 1967, the Panthers are the first team in history in that era to make the Stanley Cup final after spending less than 30% of the regular season in the playoff spot.
That is a great stat.
The previous high, or previous low, rather, was 32% of the regular season by the 2019 Blues, who famously were the worst team in the league at one point and went on a half-season heater to make the playoffs and ultimately win.
You should have asked that as a trivia question because they should have come to me. I don't know if they would have, but as soon as you said it, I was like, of course.
Yeah. I mean,
they were absolutely at the bottom. That story is a tough one to match.
And we're going
to
talk about lessons that the Predators can take from the Panthers and the other teams in the conference finals and see how they can apply it to their situation. We'll
yes.
talk about that later.
That'll be later. That'll be in the 7 o'clock hour. We also, of course, today have Charles Robinson for his typical, is every week, Thursday visit, from 8 to 8:30. We're going to have Caroline Fenton coming on at 7.
You lost Jared versus Joe again yesterday?
Yeah. You know, every time
you're on a bit of a skid, aren't you?
I don't know if it's 2 or 3. I mean,
you went on a winning streak recently, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's kind of like, look, I mean, if you agree to be on a competition that's on the other show.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. I mean,
what did.
I mean, like, does Jared actually win sports arguments? Come on.
I mean,
legitimately, no.
I mean, when Jared has been out in the past and I've been filling in and it's Jared versus Caroline, I mean, Joe versus Caroline, and I fill in the question chair, it's a little less biased, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And I'm not saying Caroline's biased for Jared, but there is, I think that his alarmist nature mm-hmm. has sort of rubbed off on her. So, you know, the pivot point of this was the, you know, are you basically, you freaked out about Kevin Byard.
And you said.
And typically with things like, I mean, if there's ever a question of, are you worried about this, whatever it is, let me tell you what Jared will tell you. 100% of the time, yes. I mean, he's always worried. It's always a huge concern. Of course, I'm worried.
Do you think Jared is a doomsday prepper?
I think that.
Like, he's got a closet in his house with, you know, rations and things of that nature.
You think he's a survivalist? Is that like.
Yeah, survivalist. You know, he.
Did you watch the show The Last of Us?
I did not. Played the video game, though.
Yeah, well, so there's a character in there who is that. He was ready for the end of the world.
Right.
You know, I don't think that. I think that sports talk radio is much easier if you're worried. I mean, seriously, I think it's much easier if you're actually worried. So
he said he was worried about Kevin Byard not being there. You said it wasn't as big of a deal as it's being made out to be.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's we both at least acknowledge that, don't know.
Did you get into the Caleb Farley spat that originated on this show earlier this week?
Yeah, and I guess I'll spend a half hour one day, and this is probably an easy rant at some point.
Hashtag Jared's film room.
And I'll just, no, because this is one of those things where if you go back to, I can find every single person who covers the Titans in the first 2 weeks of camps writing about it. I mean, you may remember, Michelle, writing about it, getting quotes about it, about how Caleb Farley is with the ones and looks pretty good. I mean, early in camp, you know, it was like, yeah. Bro. And, of course, Jared's like, he sucks. He was only there because he's a first-round pick. He sucks. You know,
well, it's
like,
funny.
Okay, Jared.
I found a video of Joe and I from training camp. We did, like, a social media video. This is my first training camp. And nice. I'm like, Joe, so which players are going to need to, like, which players to look out for in camp? And you're like, you know, Dylan Radins is going to be a huge one. He's going to be a huge factor this year. And then Caleb Farley. And I need to find that audio because you look back at it now, 3 years now, and it's like, oh, wow.
But that was last year.
No, this was before.
So this was going into their rookie year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, going into their rookie year, yeah, of course, right? But even going into last year.
Oh, yeah. Caleb Farley, I mean,
both of them were important. It was like, yeah, I mean, both of them were like, can they both start? They need to both start. They were first and second round picks. But again, so Jared now revising history, Farley sucked all along. He's just sucked. No, that's not true. Now, is he good? Is he – no, at this point, he's trying to hang on in the league. But it's just this his revisionist history thing that it's just – there's no need for it, you know? I mean, all it does is create unnecessary arguing, really. But
you need to
that's
just
what
start,
Jared likes to do.
You need to just start remembering what he says in the dates – because I feel like he remembers it for you, and then he knows where and when to bring it back up.
Yeah, well, he certainly tries to. But the thing is, he won't with this because he's dead wrong. He has nothing. He has nothing here. Like he's dead wrong. So I'll do it at some point. And see, we were going to talk about Tim Kelly in this first segment, but we're still going to talk about Tim Kelly. I'll say this going into the next segment. Interesting. First of all, Mike Herndon wrote a piece at PaulKarski.com, and I'll find the Herndon tweet about the changes. I mean, that's what we're talking about a lot, right? We're going to talk some about the changes and what they are. And as this tweet says, the Titans appear to be shifting offensive terminology. Shanahanian, West Coast, for the last 5 years, to the Earhart-Perkins system. For anybody who doesn't know what that is Yeah, that goes back to Ray Perkins. You're going back to the New England Patriots of the 70s, but that offense is still an offense, although it also used to be like a grinding run offense, and now it's the Patriots throw it around offense, you know? I mean, you think about the Patriots in 07, that incredible team that should have won it all. That was quote-unquote this offense, but it was also a bunch of air raid stuff. I mean, all this stuff evolves. But the bottom line is it's more – it appears, at least terminology, more of what Houston was doing, right? More of what Bill O'Brien was doing there. So that's interesting. Beyond that, though, what do we think of Tim Kelly so far? What do we think just from listening to him talk, the information we have, what do we think of Tim Kelly? Coming up next, Robin Rexer, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Get improvement with the personnel on hand?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a complete overhaul. I mean, obviously this program has done a lot of really good things offensively throughout the year. So, you know, just like we talked about whenever the last time I talked to you guys was, it's going to be about make sure that we're accentuating the things that we do well and being able to make minor adjustments to some of the areas where we need to improve.
And that was Tim Kelly, Titans' new offensive coordinator, talking this week. He had an interesting press conference. And I very much enjoyed, as we've talked about, the little dig at Paul Kuharsky. We need more of that from Tim Kelly. But your impressions right now, from afar, Adam Vingan, of the Titans' new offensive coordinator. I mean, this is a huge part of what this season is going to be. You know, if Tim Kelly is a significant upgrade, if he fixes and figures out some things, if he has that feel of an offensive coordinator that you need, where you kind of get ahead of the defensive coordinator in a particular game, which didn't happen too much under Todd Downey for a lot of reasons, but I think some him. If he's that guy again, that could make a big difference for this team. What are your thoughts on him so far?
Well, all I know of Tim Kelly, or at least what I can look at in terms of his body of work, is what he did when he was with Houston 3 years as an offensive coordinator. And I know this isn't the end-all, be-all when it comes to how successful he was at his job, but I believe they only made the playoffs one time in those 3 years.
They were a bad football team for sure.
Yes. And I was looking at the players he had at his disposal in the year that they went to the playoffs. They won the AFC South in 2019. Of course, he had Deshaun Watson at quarterback, and they still had DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills at wide receiver, Carlos Hyde as the starting running back. In terms of how he presents himself, you know, he seems like a typical football guy. We talked about this a little bit yesterday about his response to Paul's question about looking at the highlight, you know, looking at the game film of the positive plays that his receiver has made. And to your point during the break, we were watching SportsCenter, and they were showing highlights of the Celtics Heat game from the other day. And you're like, I haven't seen this game. The Celtics look pretty good. And I was like, well, that's the Tim Kelly school of coaching there. Let's only look at the best plays. And it's interesting because when he first said that,
like, if this is going to continue to be a narrative, it's going to be so annoying. But keep going.
When he first said that, I was just like, that seems kind of silly.
Really?
But then I was reading a story unrelated to Tim Kelly. I was reading a story on ESPN.com yesterday about we talked about the Florida Panthers. I read a story about the shift in philosophy of coaching, specifically in the NHL, and it was based off of Paul Maurice. Of course, now the coach of the Panthers, the power of positive coaching. And he was talking about how when he came in, and he was talking about when he came in, how he and his staff worked to help his players. And he was talking about how he made a point to accentuate the positive. And he felt that the players responded better to seeing clips of what they were doing right versus clips of what they were doing wrong. And they broke down the clips into three categories: positive clips, teaching clips, and negative clips. And he emphasized the positive in the teaching clips because, as I said, he and his staff saw improvement in how their players were taking the coaching by emphasizing the positive, saying, here's what you did right versus here's what you did wrong. So it seems as if, though, that's what Tim Kelly is going to be trying to do, is accentuating the positive. You made these big plays. You had that great catch. You had this great game. Here's what we need more of to get you to do that more consistently versus showing, here's what you did wrong. I mean, does that
Yeah, maybe. First of all, the general idea makes sense because your generation is soft. I mean, certainly. Let's just talk about the good things. Look at Michelle. Sorry, every once in a while I have to generational shot.
I think Michelle and I are in different generations, though. She's not a millennial, I don't think.
No, I'm
You're born what year?
97.
Yeah, that's like the...
cusp.
She is the absolute youngest millennial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was X.
X? I'm
Z.
X.
Or Z. No, wait.
The X's Joe, out I'm here your are getting old, okay?
Right.
Nah, you're a boomer, Joe. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying like about, you know, this is not, you know, I'm sure there are going to be people who latch on to that one comment all year. And
yeah. I don't think it, look, that comment, in my opinion, because what you just laid out there is very interesting. And I do think there's value. I mean, the older coaches are much more likely to quote unquote coach from the negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look. Like one of my favorite people in the history of the world is Judd Heathcote, who, of course, was Tom Izzo's mentor, and their entire thing is coaching the negative. Here's all the stuff you did wrong. I'm going to scream at you about it. You're going to get better. I mean, it can work, but more and more new age coaches don't look at it that way. I just don't think that what Tim Kelly said the other day to the Kaharsky question was reflective of that. I just think it was like, why could they be good? Well, here, they did some good stuff, so they could be good. I mean, So, yes, but I think there is a chance that gets invoked a lot, and it's going to be very annoying. Thing with Tim Kelly is, just apart from that, what we know about him, okay? One, like you said, Adam, bad teams. I mean, they weren't good teams. But Davis Mills, for example, his rookie year, which was Kelly's last year as OC, he ended up with 88.8 rating, second best rookie QB rating. He had the best red zone rating among all quarterbacks, 116.8. Also, for any Titans fans, remember what Davis Mills did to them and almost kept them from the one
seed. Week 18.
Yeah, threw for 333 and 3 touchdowns. Danny freaking Amendola had 113 of them. I mean, that's one day example. Vrabel brought that up, you know, when he was talking about Kelly when he was initially hired. You know, Kelly was bad last year, Mills was bad last year without Kelly. By the way, did anybody see the Davis Mills pick?
Oh, my goodness.
His neck is absolutely incredible. It's the most.
Is there a recent picture?
Albert Breer tweeted it and was like, I just can't help but stare at his neck.
Yeah, like Robbie makes the jokes, but it really is like, there's no way he's ever done a squat. And yet he's an NFL player. It's incredible. Here's some more on Tim Kelly, okay? Again, Mills dropped off, 10-point drop in QB rating. Now, is that because of Kelly? You know, I don't know. But the bottom line is he played a lot better with Kelly. Watson, 5 seasons, okay? His career best were with Kelly as his OC in 2020. That was a 112.4 QB rating, 8.9 per attempt, which is ridiculous, 4,823 passing yards. Those last two stats led the league. Watson's numbers are way worse when Kelly was not his OC. Is that because of Kelly? I mean, it's hard to believe that there's no correlation, right? So I think there's some, what I don't know enough, and first of all, it's just a totally different personnel group, obviously. You're talking about those Texans teams with Watson, shotgun, the running game was there as a, you know,
like
as
I said,
a counter.
Carlos Hyde was their starting running back in 2019.
And they got David Johnson with a terrible trade. Yeah. And Bill O'Brien. It's just hard to even – they were bad. The teams were bad. The defense was terrible. So what does that mean? I mean, with Kelly, obviously it's going to come down to Sundays and how he does going against the other defensive coordinator. You know, I mean, that's what it is. But there's some evidence here that he has a positive impact, you know, on quarterback play for sure.
I just have to say, I just looked at the tweet from Albert Breer. That's the first time I've seen Davis Mills without his helmet on.
Is that insane?
Without pads. It's insane. It's unbelievable. The length of his neck is insane. That's the first time I've seen him sans helmet, sans pads. Because I know Robbie loves it, so whenever I've seen a Texans game, I'm like, his neck doesn't seem that long, but then it's kind of obscured a little bit by the pads and the helmet. But to see him with just a workout shirt on, I'm like, oh my God.
I mean,
is he half giraffe?
Like ostrich? It's incredible.
Like if we really get one of those, like
it's magnificent.
If we get one of those like dog DNA testing kits, like Wisdom Panel or something like that, and then do you think in his lineage there's like some ostrich, some giraffe? Now I'm talking about bestiality.
Yeah, let's
move on.
This show is going into it's a 6 o'clock hour. It's fine. I don't know where to go from
Woo!
That. I will tell you that Gunner on the text line said there's no chance Jared's a survivalist. He doesn't even know how to change batteries and smoke detectors.
He doesn't own a ladder.
That is a very fair point. Chuck says, I'm more interested in Kelly's play calling as opposed to game planning. Can he adjust when his original plan isn't working?
And that was a criticism of Todd Downing, right? That his play calling was too predictable.
Yeah, we'll get more into that and Kelly next on Robbie and Rex Show. But right now, if you're caller five right now, you can win a pair of tickets to see The Used and Pierce the Veil at Municipal Auditorium on May 31st. 615-737-1025. Fifth caller will be back. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hello. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today. Use promo code THEGAME. Joe Rex Show, Adam Ving, and Michelle Canenza be back. I thought Michelle had like a dramatic like intro song there. I heard like two notes, and then I was like, oh.
I did too.
Did you think that too?
Yes.
Like it was like she was about to drop some kind of dramatic tune on us.
Yeah,
did you just mute yourself again?
Yeah. Sorry, that was like, I have no idea what just happened, but we're all good now. I hope that was a dramatic entrance.
Well, that's all right. You know what? You're not, we've determined you're not Gen Z. You are Gen Z. You're not a millennial. You are the oldest Gen Z. You're not the youngest millennial.
So we have got three generations here right now.
Three generations, yeah.
And Robbie, I guess we do every single day because Robbie and Adam are the same generation.
Yeah, millennials. And we used to complain about millennials.
We had
millennials look awfully wise now, awfully wise and productive.
A few weeks ago, we had a babysitter for Arlo, and we were talking, and she told me she was born in 2001.
Wow!
And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, man, that's where things are.
If you were If you were born after the year 2000, it just like it gives me the willies, not the Willie Donicks, just the regular old willies.
Oh Lord! All right, you found something on Tim Kelly.
Yeah, so this courtesy of Titans Wire over at USA Today, talking. This is Davis Mills talking about the differences between Tim Kelly as offensive coordinator and Pep Hamilton, who I believe took over for Tim Kelly as offensive coordinator in Houston.
Right.
This is Davis Mills. Quote, Tim Kelly's offense is completely quarterback-driven pre-snap, and the big focus from Pep when he stepped in this role was he wants to take as much off the quarterback as he can so we can play fast. Obviously, we have a lot of control in making sure we're in the correct protection and the correct mic point, basically confirming or changing anything, but the center does the initial point in making the initial calls. So that takes a lot off my plate, especially in the run game. We can go out there and play fast when the center is pointing it.
Okay. It's interesting, too, hearing that, because obviously Tim Kelly, a lot of the talk before this week was about tempo with the Titans. The Titans have been working on tempo. I mean, when Tim was asked this the other day, I'd say he threw a little bit of cold water on me, basically talking about the urgency. I don't think this is going to become like a consistent, a lot of the time hurry up offense. I could be wrong, but it's interesting to hear that. And then Tim Kelly talk about, obviously, everybody wants to do that, right? Like every coach talks about they want to play fast. No coach is like, you know, we want to go slow. and just be really methodical and make our, you know, have our opponents be able to adjust easily.
Well, I was going to say, I think Chig was talking about this the other day about, you know, being fast. Okay, what entail, what goes into being fast?
Of
course, being fast on the field, you know, with the plays. But he was saying that a lot of the terminology has changed and they're using, you know, one word terms to explain an entire play. And then they talked about, you know, the communication with the quarterback and having that more efficient. And I thought that was a really interesting point of something that's changed from Todd Downing to Tim Kelly on, okay, was there a problem with the communication? Was it too elaborate for people to understand the plays? But now they're using, Chig was like, yeah, it's hard to learn at first, but once you have the word down, it explains everything that you need to do. So that way, maybe faster, more efficient, and just everybody being on the same page was a difference.
Yeah, and that's so referring back to, I mentioned that Mike Herndon has a column at paulgarowski.com about the offensive terminology, the nomenclature, so to speak, you know, the change. And that's one thing about the Shanahan, like the West Coast, like it's kind of known for really long play titles, or, you know, like really long, like six words. So, you know, what does it mean if they're changing the terminology, cutting down the terminology a little bit? Again, Earhart Perkins, which, by the way, I mean, I could go down a big rabbit hole on this because the defensive system there, which is a 3-4, which is the Fairbanks Bulla, and it's Hank Bulla, rest in peace, a guy I've known for a long time. And these guys all used to argue about who actually brought the 3-4 to the NFL, including Bum Phillips and the Oilers. There's all this argument in the 70s about who brought the 3-4, but that 3-4 defense is still, I mean, that's Belichick, what he brought to the Giants with LT. And they, you know, it's interesting how both of these systems are still technically alive today with the Patriots and a lot of teams, and they go back to the 70s. Anyway, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But it was kind of interesting, right?
That's why you're an old.
So, again, my generation showing its face there. But, yeah, I think – so, you know, what is that like, that's interesting. I guess if you have quicker play calls and you can – get some things off faster. I mean, I can see the benefit there. You know, another thing that people, this is a fair thing to bring up. It's like Tim Kelly, new direction, all this stuff. Tim Kelly was here last year.
Yes.
Right? I mean, when he was hired, that's one thing I wrote in The Athletic. I was like, you know, the worst thing on his resume is being a part of this offense last year, you know? But
what were his responsibilities passing game coordinator?
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Do we really know? Like, do we know?
Well, I mean, he worked with tight ends a lot. I mean, like, in practice, he's working with the tight ends. So, I mean, he was part of the staff. He was another voice in the room.
But how much influence did he have on the day-to-day?
Not much. Not much. And the thing is, this is where, and I get it, like, last year things were going terribly, right? So people were like, put Tim Kelly in, let Tim Kelly call the play, right? All this stuff. I get it. Change up. But you've devoted yourself to this OC. And if you're Vrabel, and this is where, like, some people just aren't going to agree with me, but that's fine. Todd Downing wasn't good. He wasn't good enough. It turned out to be not a good enough hire by Mike Vrabel. There are not many OCs in the world who are going to take what they had last year, especially with the injuries, and turn it into chicken salad, so to speak. We know what it was. It wasn't chicken salad. You're not going to turn that into chicken salad. I mean, look, here's a quote from Vrabel last year about that idea, okay? Because he was asked, you know, about that. Quote, I have to make decisions, and I don't know if during the season anything really would have mattered. I really don't, end quote. And that's basically Vrabel saying, like, we were screwed. And it was about the players. It's about the players. It's always about the players. I'll be a total Vrabel coach speaker here. It's about players, not plays. So it wasn't going to do anything that dramatic to put Tim Kelly in place of Todd Downing and say, you call better plays. Okay, well, we can't block. We can't get open. Tannehill's hurt. What play? What play are we calling, right?
Well, maybe you don't run the ball on, you know, 3rd and 7.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's plenty of criticism of Todd Downing. I mean, some of the goofy trick, you know, plays in the fourth quarter, I mean, there's plenty. I'm not trying to take the responsibility off him. What I'm saying, though, is that you're right. Kelly really didn't have a big hand in things. He was there. Now, was Kelly there with the idea that eventually he'd be here? I think maybe. I mean, they wanted to talk to him before. Vrabel worked with him in Houston. Obviously, Vrabel knows him, trusts him, And again, there's a lot of evidence from his time in Houston that he knows what he's doing. But the idea that, you know, that last year, one, that he had a big hand in what in their failures, I don't think that's true. Now, can he? How dramatic can the turnaround be this year? Just tell me how they're going to block. Just tell me that. And tell Tim Kelly how they're going to block. And you know, if you get him away from the microphone, that he'd probably tell you that too. You know, like, okay, yeah, if we can actually win up front, which is still what football's about, then a lot of these players are going to look better. People really liked the intro, by the way.
I have no qualms with that.
The intro is fantastic. Nothing better than silence and then Joe just going, hello.
Hello.
That's actually how Joe met his wife, just by randomly picking up the phone and going, hello.
Katie was immediately terrified.
Not terrified enough to not agree to marry him.
She was terrified. Yeah, I think she's still terrified sometimes when she thinks about the fact that she's married to me. Hey guys, by the way, the game, 102.5, 106.3, the game, this is going well, has your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews tomorrow night, Bridgestone Arena.
With Joe.
Courtesy of Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Yes, I will be there, so come find me if you're there. Text in the keyword BAND, B-A-N-D, now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win. And when we come back, best and worst in sports, Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3, the game. And it's that time for the best and worst in sports of the week. You know, we were talking earlier off the air. I'm totally like this with Michelle, too. It's like during the course of a week, something will be really good or really bad, and then you'll be like, that'll be – and then you forget, and you don't write it down.
Nope.
I know.
So I will go last today.
No. Oh, because I was going to let you go before me. Since I'm on mic one, I should go last because I always take your stuff.
You know what? Adam Vinkin is Adam our guest Vinkin. This week.
Okay, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to do
you
my
go first.
Can I do my worst in sports first?
You can do whatever you want, man.
Okay.
We don't, you know.
I'm going to
we're
do
non-linear.
I'm going to do my worst in sports first. This is derived from Game 3 of the Western Conference Final between the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. Jamie Benn, Stars captain, ejected for cross-checking. Mark Stone, unnecessarily. Within the first 2 minutes of the game, basically led to the implosion of the Stars, who are on life support. So Jamie Benn did not speak to reporters after the game, but he was available to reporters yesterday, late morning, before the ruling came down from the NHL Department of Player Safety that he was ultimately suspended for 2 games. But I want you to listen to how he tried to defend his action. Two reporters.
Oh, it's a doozy.
Let's hear it.
You know, down 1-0, so you want to, you know, try and get your team going. Emotions are high, and, you know, it's just an unfortunate play. You know, obviously didn't want to take a 5-minute penalty, but, you know, the game happens fast. Emotions are high, and obviously would have liked to not fall on him, and, I guess use my stick as a landing point. Usually don't talk to other players in a playoff series on other teams, but you know, I saw he was okay, so that was great.
Okay, I want you to hear that. I guess I regret falling on him and using my stick as a landing point. You had all night to think about that, that's what you came up with?
Vols fans, this is like Shai Tuttle falling on his helmet, man.
I called it the cell block tango defense, a nod to the musical Chicago. He ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times.
Yeah.
I just happened to aggressively fall on his neck with my stick.
His head was just a landing point for me.
You had all night to think of that. And obviously the NHL did not think that was a good enough defense because they suspended him for 2 games. And by the way, if the Stars are swept tonight, he will be suspended for the first game of next season. The first regular season game of next season. So Jamie Benn, worst in sports for that terrible line of defense. I bet the NHL on the other side of the phone was just like, can we put you on mute for a second? Like, and then just started laughing amongst themselves before they came back on. Just
tank accountability, man.
Just awful.
That was pretty bad.
That's awful. Best in sports on this past Sunday, Brittany Griner made her home return after, of course, the terrible ordeal that she endured being a political prisoner in Russia. In her first home game for the Phoenix Mercury, in 31 minutes, 27 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. It was a great moment. Great to have Brittany Griner back stateside. All the feels. So Brittany Griner, best in sports.
Well done.
Okay.
Michelle, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let you go before me.
I am ready. Worst in sports happened earlier this week. Rest in peace, Jim Brown, one of the best athletes, not even just football players, one of the best athletes ever. I always, you know, when a sports legend like that passes away, you just see so much on Twitter of old highlights and videos or on SportsCenter, ESPN, and I wasn't alive, you know, to watch a lot of him or remember really, but just to see some of the stuff he did, and obviously to go to Syracuse, you know how much of a legend he is there. And like lacrosse, basketball, I mean, just everything. So one of the best athletes ever, lost a legend, but really cool just to see all the stuff that people have done to remember him and all the videos that have come out. So that's my worst in sports, losing a legend like that. Best in sports, these NBA playoffs. I mean, I feel like I've done this probably a couple times just because I love basketball so much, but I also get into, you know, arguments on whether Jason Tatum is a true superstar, and
the answer is yes.
And you're a Duke fan, so I just, you know, I just
there's no debate on that topic. There's no debate.
Mark wants you to know Duke sucks, by the way.
Shout out Mark.
Yeah, shout out to Mark.
But Jimmy Butler in this postseason, I mean, one of the most electric, entertaining players to really play the game. And I love the Nugget story with Nikola Jokic and everything, but I would love to see Jimmy Butler get a ring. I mean, he's probably one of my favorite players ever. You know, a JUCO guy, went to Marquette, just a scrappy guy, so fun to watch.
Traded by the Bulls for nothing. Great move by the Bulls. Ryan from Chicago.
I do actually have a Bulls Jimmy Butler jersey, which is pretty sick, not gonna lie. But one of the, like, some of the plays he makes, and I could get ratioed hard on this, but Kobe-esque, you know, some of the jumpers, some of the plays he creates.
Yeah, those pull-ups on the baseline are, yeah, you know, that's Kobe-ish.
Entertaining. Yeah. So Jimmy Butler's my best in sports. And please, Jimmy, just close it out tonight. The Celtics have been favored by about 9 points, I think, in every single game. Miami just needs to close it out in Boston and then just move on.
I was looking at the trade that was made between the Bulls and the Timberwolves.
Bad.
Jimmy Butler and Justin Patton for Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Lauri Markkanen.
I mean, LaVine's
LaVine,
good.
Yeah. I mean,
LaVine's fine.
But, yeah, that's a toughie. That's too bad for the Bulls, I tell you what. That should just be my worst. But so my best, I'm going to tell this story quickly, and it's a worst and best, the story, but I wrote it this week for The Athletic. Got wind of this through Vanderbilt pitching coach Scott Brown, and a guy he coached at St. John's. The best, okay, is what the friends of Anthony Varvero did in the wake of his tragic passing. He, after his major league career, he went into the Port Authority Police. He's from New York. He's from Staten Island. He volunteered to work security on 9/11 this year. 4:25 in the morning, driving from Staten Island to the world, you know, the site of the World Trade Center. Wrong way driver, head-on collision, and they both died instantly. Talking about a guy, 37 years old, 4 children, between 9 and 3, okay? And so just an absolutely awful story. Scott Brown for Vanderbilt is wearing 12 for the rest of his career to honor him. So, again, I wrote the story this week. But my best is, and it's about a month ago now, his friends, and in particular one friend who was the equipment manager at St. John, he had about a 10-year plan. He was the president of the Snug Harbor Little League, which is basically like the most, like I guess, compared to the other Staten Island Little Leagues, has the least resources. 10-year plan that they made happen in 5 months, $2.2 million in donations. MLB donated $225,000. They have like the greatest Little League facility like in New York now to honor Anthony Varvero. And so, again, it's a long story. Wrote it this week, but learning about this and reading about it, incredibly inspiring what these people did. And, of course, his kids then throughout the first pitch. I mean, it's a tough story, but the response to it's been pretty inspiring. My worst in sports is Ja Morant and whatever the heck is going on. You've got a scare with what he said on social media, which he ended with bye, and people freak out, and the cops do a wellness check on him and told him, apparently, according to Memphis police, told him to stay off social media. Don't know what's going on there, but another part of the worst there is the social media back and forth on this, which is a great reason for him to stay off social media. But Ja Morant's going through some stuff right now, and I hope he's okay, and I hope he does just stay off social media and get himself right and just, have perspective and all that stuff. I think he needs to clearly deal with some stuff. But that, if you saw what he said, and it's a little bit disturbing and worrisome, and I just hope he's okay. But it's a continuation with all the stuff with him. It seems like someone who's troubled right now and needs some help and needs to find that help, and I hope he does.
Well said, Joe.
So there's...
Let's get back to Mark for a second.
There's worst.
Where do you get the nerve, Mark, to text that mean things to me?
I mean, look, you know how
Jason
it is.
Tatum is clearly a superstar. It's not even up for debate.
Jason Tatum's a star. The word super is...
Star.
Is an interesting... You could have different definitions of that, but he's certainly a star. He's a great player.
I don't know. How many points did he have in game 7 of the previous round?
I would be interested to see what he would look like on a team that's not as well constructed as the Boston Celtics.
That's always a go-to. That's always a go-to sports debate, right? We talked about this with William Nylander the other day when we were talking about trade scenarios involving Predators goalies. You asked me if William Nylander could still be as good with the Predators as he is with the Maple Leafs. I feel like talent mostly travels, no?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it does. But, I mean, you can get into this, too, with, like, some quarterbacks who were surrounded with great, all great receivers and a great OC, or quarterbacks who still did great things without that. I mean, I think it does matter. Look, Michael Jordan. Let me just bring up Michael Jordan. Well, hey, Michael Jordan in his prime, and I'm talking in his prime, for years, didn't do anything, right? Why?
No, he was Scottie great. Pippen.
Yeah, I mean, Scottie Pippen's a top 30 player of all time. Rings come. Why? Because it's a team game. This is still a team game. So
to channel Robbie, I just want to tell Mark, pound sand.
Also, Kentucky basketball greater than sign Duke basketball. Now the segment is over.
I guess we do have to do we have to end it on that? Josh says best in sports. Burke's flying back story, the one that PK wrote about, which is a great story.
Great story.
Worst is Ja. I mean, Ja's concerning. You got some. I'm not at all surprised. You got some stupid texts about Brittany Griner around here. Not reading them. best Lakers getting swept. Okay. And worse, Jared calling Levis weird. I was not there for that. Jared called Levis weird?
Aren't we all a little weird?
Oh, man. Every day on the text line, there's something that's like, well, I didn't hear that. Do we have the audio of that? But when we come back, we're going to have Jared's former partner in crime, who has escaped him to do great things on Caroline Willie and D-Maze, Caroline Fenton, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.